This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Sadanand Dume, writing at the Wall Street Journal. He's at the American Enterprise Institute, about the Quad. This is an organization over these last years that's been theoretical, but then again, we've had the recovery from the pandemic, and it's not been easy to meet anywhere to demonstrate sympathy for purposes to do with containing China or patrolling the Indo-Pacific. The Quad is India, Australia, Japan, and the United States. It is not primarily defense, but then again, it looks like defense if you consider China. There are other aspects to it, and there's a photograph in the Wall Street Journal accompanying Sadanand's piece, which is inspirational because the leaders and the Secretary of State are gathered in a circle. There are people looking in. Everybody's masked, of course. The President and Prime Minister Modi are not at this point. They're speaking. However, the Quad is an ambition, and the question is, where is it going? Sadanand, a very good evening to you. The virus, China's aggression, the confrontation in the high Himalayas, all this going on at the same time, we're putting together what could be a mutual benefit society of trade and prosperity going forward. Is that talked about in the Quad? Good evening to you.
Very good evening, John. Let me quickly give your listeners a recap to start this. The Quad was essentially dormant for about 10 years, and then it was revived in 2017 under President Donald Trump. And what we've seen in the last 4 years is a very dramatic, shall we say, coming of age of this grouping. So, for example, initially they would meet at a fairly, you know, mid-level diplomats from the four countries would meet on the sidelines of other summits. The foreign ministers of the four countries only met for the first time 2 years. And now we've seen, in the course of less than a year, first a virtual leader-level summit and now an in-person leader-level summit. So that just shows that all four governments, all four capitals are taking the Quad and its potential much more seriously. Now, what we're seeing in terms of concrete action, and no one talks about China, but it's very clearly aimed at China. What we're seeing in terms of concrete action is cooperation on things like vaccines, cooperation on things like budding cooperation on things like technology. And it's still early days, but if you look at these joint statements closely, you can sort of see the contours of what might be joint action by these four important democracies to check Chinese hegemony in Asia.
Indo-Pacific, though, let's focus on that because India's got the big lift in the Indo-Pacific. Sadanand, all four countries are being threatened by the People's Republic of China, but India strikes me as the most vulnerable because there have been conflicts in the past and because there's a border share. There's also the matter of Tibet in exile, and Tibet itself was once upon a buffer between these two states, and it is now under occupation by the PRC. Does India look to the Quad for support given its confrontation with China? Is this bolster India going forward?
Absolutely, John. I think your assessment is absolutely correct. If you look at those four countries, the one that is most directly threatened and most immediately threatened by China is India, for the simple reason that they have a border. They have been in, there have been tensions rising on the border. We've been talking about the violence last year where 20 Indian soldiers were killed, the first loss of life on that border in almost 50 years. At least four Chinese also died in that. So it's a fraught situation. The troop buildup continues. The Chinese are building infrastructure on that border on the Himalayas. So are the Indians. It's China's only officially undemarcated border, one that they haven't come to an agreement with their neighbors on. So because of both the proximity and the fact that this is a live border, India in many ways is the most vulnerable, followed by Japan for geographical reasons and given the Chinese claims of the Senkakus and so on. India is definitely leaning on the Quad. There has been an enormous amount of cooperation, particularly from the Americans in terms of equipment, in terms of military intelligence, in terms of other inputs, helping India in this ongoing standoff with China. But India must also, I think, They're trying to play a game, a balancing game, in the sense of they need the Quad support against China, but they also need to calibrate the speed of their involvement with the Quad for fear of setting off an even more aggressive Chinese reaction. So that's sort of, you know, those are the two thoughts that would dominate the way the Indians are looking at this.
My understanding is the Quad can be, or maybe already is, an organization for trade and for development and for innovation. Is that part of the security is immediate? I understand that. But is that part of the dialogue at even the mid-level conversation?
So, you know, the security part is never spoken out loud. And officially, in fact, the Quad is not about security. But the fact is that there are these naval exercises called the Malabar exercises, which were originally with the U.S. and India. But the Japanese had joined a few years ago, and now the Australians are part of it too. So even though that's not officially part of the Quad is clearly doing military things. I think you're seeing cooperation on technology. You're seeing some cooperation on development. You're seeing these four countries try to work together in Southeast Asia, in places like Indonesia and Malaysia and the Philippines, to counter Chinese influence. However, I don't think there's a trade component. And that really goes back to the fact that here in the United States, John, as you know, we have a very fraught debate about trade. And the U.S. really does not have a forward-leaning trade agenda in Asia. And so the idea that the Quad is a trade grouping, I don't think that is true.
I want to go to the Himalayas now, because recently, for the first time, I've seen a number of photographs of the deployment, 50,000 troops by the Indian Republic in the Himalayas. This is beautiful, forbidding territory. It is bizarre that it is a conflict zone. However, what we see now is a constant threat that China could grab more and more. I think they call it the five finger or the fist, something to provoke India. Does that still bite in Delhi? It was very upsetting when it first was revealed, but is it still a burning issue for India's security thinking?
Well, for sure. I mean, let's continue with the bite analogy, since I have a new puppy. The Chinese have bitten, and they haven't let go. So, yes, of course, the Indians still feel the pain. The Chinese are still squatting on territory that the Indians see as their own. Instead of withdrawing, they've withdrawn from some parts, but they are attempting to create buffer zones, which include territory that India has regarded as its own. And they're building up military infrastructure. The Indians are also building up military infrastructure. And as you pointed out, there's been a big troop buildup. But the Chinese actions on the border in the Himalayas have fundamentally altered the way India sees China. And I think for the better in some ways, right? For the better at the most part, because before this, the Indians were much more worried about deeper Quad cooperation. Now they recognize that, along with people in other capitals, that, you know, pussyfooting around Chinese sensibilities does not necessarily stop them from acting aggressively. And so you're seeing much deeper Indian cooperation with the Quad, and this is directly as a result of Chinese aggression.
India is also a member of the BRICS and a member of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. And from 20,000 miles, you could imagine that India would be an interlocutor between these opposing forces, Russia and China on one side, and the United States and Australia and India and Japan on the other side. Does India offer itself as a go-between, given these different organizations?
So I think the issue is really it goes to India's long quest for strategic autonomy. India is very careful about not putting all its eggs in one basket. So even though it has really deepened its cooperation with the United States, with Australia, Japan, and the Quad, it still has one foot in these other China-dominated groupings. Part of the Indian logic is less to be an interlocutor and more to kind of stop the Russians from getting even closer to the Chinese. Now, most people in Washington believe that this is not a very sensible assessment, and that Moscow and Beijing are very, very close and are only growing closer. But in New Delhi, they feel that by being a member of these groupings, it gives them a chance to be in conversations that would prevent Moscow from becoming even closer to China.
Sadhu Nandume of the American Enterprise Institute, writing most recently at the Wall Street Journal on the Quad, the meeting that happened just now, just recently. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.